Lord. Beautiful day outside, beautiful day inside. We appreciate all that the Lord does for us. But remember those prayer requests that Brother Daniel read a little while ago. Just ask the Lord to be mine on each of those requests. And let's open our Bibles. Begin reading Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, we'll read verse 1 through 4. Verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And then Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, we can probably quote this from our heart. Revelation 10, 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's pray for him. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for your grace and presence among us, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, we know that if it had not been for you to intervene in our lives, there's no telling where we would be, Lord. We'd be on a pathway that obviously leading downward. And God, you have come and you have moved on our lives. You have turned us heavenward. And we're thankful for that this morning, Lord. We ask, God, that as we are your subjects today, we are your sheep, we ask, Lord, that you come here today, and Lord, that you would be the great shepherd. We give honor and praise to you this morning that belongs only to you. Lord, may we just today refuse to give any honor and praise to anyone else but you, Lord, and all that you do. Let us recognize it, God, and Lord, that you just touch every life. Draw those to you. We know, God, that it is your desire to be a blessing to your people more than even we would want. So we ask today, Lord, that you would just let your presence, your word, your guidance, your leadership be known. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today I want to title this, Follow the Word as It Moves. Amen. Follow the Word as It Moves. May you love the Lord. We're so familiar with that song, Only Believe, right? It was Brother Branham's was the song that they used to call him to the platform throughout all those years. And I think it's such a fitting song because we know as Christians, that's all we can do is believe. And so, you know, we can't, as wonderful as this message is, we cannot manifest it ourselves. We can't make it happen ourselves. It, as Brother Branham tells, and I've read it several times, where Brother Branham said that the Spirit itself has to pack the message. The Holy Ghost in us has to move us. And, of course, you have people who try to move it just because of an intellectual knowledge to know what it is and then try to bring it to pass, and it doesn't work. Right. And so Brother Branham, in that quote where he's talking about, he said, even in his day, he could see when he talked to brothers and talked, and even in the movement of that hour, he said, I can see we're growing cold. He said, it's become too much of a natural thing to us, too natural for us. We must worship God in spirit.
Right.
And let me say that to us, to each one of us today, that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
But in spirit, we must seek revelation. We must seek to yield ourselves in such a way that God would move us and perform this word through us, because we can't do it ourselves. And so we know that song, Only Believe, and it was written by a man by the name of Paul Rader. And so Brother Branham tells the story there, rehearsing his testimony of Paul Rader, where Paul Rader was in some foreign country, and he came sick with a fever or some sort of a fever or something, and he was dying. He was laying in bed dying, and he told his wife, he said, just keep praying. No matter what happens, just keep praying. And it was getting darker and darker, and finally, you know, he was just about to pass over, and as he went out or whatever, he had this, like a dream. He was saying he was a logger, because he used to be a logger back in Oregon, I think it was. And he said in this dream that he had while he was dying, you know, he thought it was a dream that his boss told him, he said, hey, go up here on the mountain and cut down a certain tree. I know we're familiar with the story, but just let me lay a foundation this morning. Amen. So go up there and cut down a certain tree and bring it down to camp for us. And so he goes up there, he finds the tree, he cuts it down, he strips all the limbs off of it, and he was a strong man, and he tried to move this tree, and he couldn't move it. And he worked and tried all these different ways. He did everything he knew how to do. Apparently, he had done that in the past and was able to, but, you know, because he was dying and he was sick and whatever, you know, in the dream, he wasn't able to move that. And he finally just sat out and leaned up against the tree and said, what am I going to do? My boss requires me to get this tree down to camp. Yeah. He's asked, that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried and I just can't do it. And he said he heard this voice speak to him. He said it was a beautiful voice, and he turned to see, well, that's the voice of his boss. And he said he turned, and it was the voice of the Lord. It was the Lord Jesus standing there. And the Lord said, why are you struggling?
Yeah.
Why are you, let me paraphrase it like this so I can get the point across. Why are you struggling to do what I told you to do?
Yeah.
Well, all of us would say, well, that's exactly that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do what he wants. Uh-huh. But he said, why are you struggling? Why don't you just roll this log into the water and then climb on the log and float and take it, go to camp, because it led me right there, you know. And so he does that. He rolls in it, and he jumps on that thing, and he's screaming to the top of his voice, I'm riding on it, you know. And at that time, he comes to himself in the room, and he's healed.
Yeah.
And he's standing out there, and he's screaming, hollering, I'm riding on it. And so, you know, there's a reason why Brother Ben would tell this story, right? Yeah. And so that's what we've got to do.
Yes.
That's why he's telling us that our boss requires for there to be a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And we all want to do everything we can, but brother, sister, you can't do it.
Right?
You've got to let the message pack you.
Right.
And that's the whole thing that we've got to understand is if we'll just get in sync and let this word work on us. Remember that song, the word is working mightily in me,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
No matter what I feel or see, the word is working mightily. But you've got to give the word that kind of place in your life. Let it move you, and God will accomplish these things. I don't care how dark, how the hour, whatever it is. God will do these things because he said so, but you just have to ride on it. You got to believe it.
Right.
Don't wear yourself out trying to live the message. Just love God and feed on that word.
Amen.
And the word will work mightily, and it will change you.
Amen.
Amen? And so it's what we've got to do. God has opened up so much of his word in this end time. We know that there was a period of time where it was all going to be kind of hidden, a mystery. But the word is promised at the end time God would open up these things here at the end time. And he's done so, and to the natural carnal mind, it makes our head spin. You look at the thing that God has done. I mean, we know people personally that was there to be witnesses of these things. God has showed himself so mightily in this day. And like I said, we know people personally that, you know, Brother Forrest and all the different ones that were there, and we know these things happen. But to the carnal mind, if you're using your carnal mind, you have to say, well, how can this be? But it is, right? Because it's God. It's a supernatural God. And so carnal mind just head spins and so forth. You know, the scripture tells us that we can't even know the things of God, right? It has to be revealed to us.
Right.
I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, right? First Corinthians 2, but God hath revealed it to us, right? Amen. So the only way that we can get into this is for God to reveal it. Man just doesn't have the ability to do it. And so, you know, when we think about being a spotless bride, it's like, how could we ever do that? Mm-hmm. We can't.
Right?
But there's a word in the land that's been revealed.
Yes.
That can do that. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it's actually doing that. And so, you know, the traditional teachings of man throughout the ages has ingrained so much into people what it means to be saved and who can be saved and what it means, what kind of life you can live. And it's been for, you know, thousands of years it has. Satan has chipped away at it to where you and I are born in all this religious stuff that everybody's got their own idea and they all say they're right. And yet God has promised here at the end time that in the midst of all that darkness and all that chaos and confusion, Babylon, right, confusion, that right in the midst of that, he would bring a revelation of the word. He would straighten this stuff out, set things in order. And in doing that, he revealed the truth about all these things that was all messed up.
Right.
And so we know that's what he's promised to do. And when he's revealed it, it's so far from what man is taught.
Yeah.
Right? Man is taught that just simply by persuasion and by government, you can make people be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's not so.
So,
you know, God weaned to ignorance throughout the ages. We know that. He will not require of people what he's not revealed. But when he's revealed it, and not just because just anybody says it, but when he divinely reveals a truth, he expects people to look at that, respond to that, and their lives will be changed by that if they believe it.
Yeah.
That they will become the manifestation of that truth he's revealed when they believe it. Not that they can do it, but by believing it, that word will come in and change them, and they'll live out the very thing that looks like they could never get there. God will do it. And that's what he's done throughout the ages. And so when he revealed it, it was so far from the teachings of man. And so you realize these things were in the scriptures all along. All of these things, when we talk about the message, we're not preaching something that's not been in the Bible. It's written there all this time. It's just that it's not been revealed. And now it has been. And because it's now being revealed and God has a people that will believe it, then there's this great battle between that and all the traditions of man and all the systems of man that have their ways without revelation. So ingrained and so many religious systems around the world. And so now there's a great fight, a great struggle, even within us as humans. So ingrained of what man's system is and what's in the flesh, that God wants us to rise up totally away from all that, being led by his Spirit, following after revelation. And so there's a great warfare right there between the groups of, you know, us and the flesh, or the bride and all the systems out in the world, religious systems. And so those things have always been there all along, but now God has revealed it. And so we know from scriptures, we've talked about it so many times, that when the children of Israel were traveling, that when the pillar of fire would move, they'd move with it. And when the pillar of fire would stop, they would stop. But we quote that scripture all the time that, you know, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we know sunlight moves, it's natural type spiritual, God moves, the message moved from the east traveling west, we know that,
right.
Here we are at the west. And so, walk in that light as he's in it, because God is in the very truth that he gives us.
Yeah.
Right? You'll find him in his light, because
right.
He's in the light. And if we walk in that light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And so we know that when the children of Israel, when that pillar of fire would move, they had to move with it. They couldn't refuse to. That was their leadership, and that was... And when he would stop, and maybe, you know, they would say, well, you know, I think we can go a few more miles today, but if the pillar of fire stopped, you better stop. But at the same time, that if it makes no difference how sleepy you are, how much longer you want to lay in bed, when it was time, when that pillar of fire began to move out, people had to pack up their tents and go.
Yeah.
Okay. We can agree with it. We can understand. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. We, you know, that's. But you have to realize, how does that translate to our day?
Right.
And the way it translates to our day is that when God reveals more truth, He's moving. And He expects us to move with that truth.
Right.
So every time, so all these ages when things were in confusion and all, but when He comes along and He reveals some divine truth out of the Bible was laying there, He expects people to move with that.
Right.
In other words, He expects them to believe it, not reject it. Uh-huh. Believe it and then let that change their lives, because it will, yeah. Right? Because it's God. Mm-hmm. And so we see here in the scriptures where Joshua, you know, and they were fixing to come into the promised land, and the scripture said there that told the people, said, when you see the priest bearing the ark, so when you see that, let me say it this way, because you know the ark represents the word, right? The ark was wood, which is humanity, but it was overlaid with gold, which is deity.
Right.
That was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, and He was flesh, but He was overlaid with deity.
Yeah.
And what I want you to understand is also that even throughout the ages, and even today, in this very hour, that when the Holy Spirit moves upon a man, a minister, a prophet, whatever he is, when God is moving on, that man is becoming overlaid with deity. It's the presence of God. And when you begin to see that, and so the ark represented the Word. Christ the Word. Right? And so in the scripture he was saying, listen, when you see the ministry, when you see them packing a message, and you see that message rise up and begin to move, you follow it. You go with it. Right? That's what he's saying there. And I always thought it was interesting because he said, now, there'll be about 2,000 years space between you and it. Uh-huh. Right? And so when you see that, he said, don't you draw nigh to it. You let that distance be there, because, in other words, if you try to approach unto the word yourself, when you try to do this and you're going to take and go this pathway yourself, no, he said, don't do that. You let there be a distance and you watch that word. You watch that Ark of the Covenant, and when you see the ministry begin to pick that up and carry that, then follow that. And we understand about 2,000 years ago, our minister, our high priest, he rose up packing the word, and he went into heaven through a body change and a resurrection, showing us that there is a way. And now 2,000 years later, approximately, we're watching that, and we realize that's the way. But at the same time, here in this hour, we have the ministry. When you see the ministry begin to catch a revelation, and they begin to move in it, watch that for a while. And if it's really a move of God, then you follow that. God is doing something there. And through that whole concept, God is going to lead you to a place you've never been before.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take a body change, but I've been promised of this word right here that if we'll follow it, that it will change our bodies someday,
right?
Right? It will change us. So we have to follow it,
right?
Right? And so, and you can't get ahead of it, right? We're here right now, and we know God's done a great thing, and we know there's a body change coming, and we kind of get antsy, and we're ministry's trying to work it up or whatever, but you have to rest assured knowing that God knows how to bring this to pass. And our responsibility is just to stay with our eyes on that word and follow that word when it moves.
Amen.
In other words, when God gives another revelation, go with it. Amen. Right? Not just haphazard. There have been all kinds of people rise. Oh, yeah, I've got a revelation. Whatever. But if it's of God, it'll be established.
Right?
Right? If it's real from God, it'll show itself out and bear itself out over time. And so, we haven't come this way before. We haven't come to a body change before. I don't know how. You don't know how to get there. But there's one who went before us.
Right.
He knows. Amen. And so God expects that when your ministry, even in this church, the ministry in this church to speak these things to you, God expects you to listen to that.
Right?
If you can look at us and say, these are faithful brothers. faithful to follow and to always stay with the word, to be servants to you, then God expects you to follow that. He expects you to listen to that. You know, if it's not the word, okay. But if it is, he, you know, God expects you to be responsible to the body you belong to. Right? He expects my heart to be a servant to pump blood to the body. Right? I can't just check out. I can't just decide, well, I'm not gonna serve this body no more. The body will die. You got to understand that. You can't just, well, I'm just whatever. No, you belong to a body. And we all have a place, and you have to be there and do your part if you want the whole thing to prosper. Yeah. Right? And so, when these things are there, then God wants us to listen to Him, follow Him, and He wants that Spirit, Holy Spirit, moving and life to be in the body. Right. And at the same time, we want growth. Obviously we do. We're believing God will bring our families and different ones in that have walked away and so forth. And we also understand that the pond's pretty much dried out just about, saying down, as Brother Brand would say. Amen? Yeah. And so we know that. And so he expects these things. And we read in the scriptures there that Revelation 10:7, when the mystery of God, when the seventh angel began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And we found out in this unfolding today that in this mystery of God that Brother Brand, he preached, Christ is the mystery of God received. We find out that this mystery of God was Christ. He became the revealed mystery. But also you find out that in that mystery of God was also a bride. Because everything that God was, he poured into Christ, but then everything Christ was, he poured into to his church, to his bride. So that means the bride is part of that mystery of God too. But it all had to be revealed. And so that's what's happening here at this end time. God was showing that he, the bride was there in the midst of that too. And so God, throughout the ages, has been moving toward revealing this bride, that she's part of him. Yeah. Right. She can't be lost anymore than he can, right? Yeah. So every few ages or whatever, every age or so, a message would come. And God was picking up his tent and we're moving closer to revealing throughout the Old Testament. We'll say it that way. Through the Old Testament, he was picking up and he was moving closer to revealing Christ, the man, 2,000 years ago, to die for sins. And then now, throughout seven ages, he's been moving each time closer and closer to reveal this bride who was in Christ also. Right? And so I ask you that when we get to the place, now we've arrived. Now we're at the time, just like it would have been when it was time that Jesus was standing there on the scene. That all those moving that had progressed to bring that, now it's there. What about that? Right? Now it's there. And then, so here we come throughout all these ages, and now here we are at time. It's time for the bride to be revealed. So what would that look like? What would that look like when it's time? You know, when it was time for Jesus to be revealed, it was different than all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Right. You see what I'm saying? It was different. Yeah. And why people would take an offense when God would do something? I don't get it. Right. Except that they're sold out to a man's system. And when it comes, it's not in a man's system. It's not in the idol that they've created. When it's not there, it's something different. Well, then they could be offended. But if God's doing so, especially God fulfilling his word, why would people be offended? Why would people be offended if God sent a gift of a prophet? My goodness. You know what that means to the church if he would send a real prophet? We should be happy for that. Right. But people are, oh no. It doesn't make sense to me. Except that they're just unbelievers, and they're sold out to something that's an offense to them because that's not part of what they're believing or what they're thinking is. And so God would show in this day that the bride was in God. She was part of that mystery. And in all this revelation, you know, throughout all the ages, people are like, oh yeah, just anybody can be saved. The gospel, he does. He throws it out there for everybody. But God knows more than that. He didn't say, well, I'm going to die and Hopefully somebody will feel sorry for the fact that I died on Calvary and suffered, and they'll give their heart to me. And that's not how God, my God's bigger than that. My God, before the world ever created, said, I'll tell you what, I know exactly which ones are going to believe, and I'm going to put their name in a book. That's the God that I serve, right? And I'm at the end time, I'm going to prove and show after it's all, man's done everything and Satan's done everything he can to mess it all up. I'm going to come along and I'm going to reveal that bride, and you'll see that she's exactly that with the word. She was part of me all along. That's exactly what he said he would do. Amen. And so in doing that, he would reveal, you know, like Brother Graham said, in one place, churches, brides, there's all these, you know, everybody, oh yeah, there's all, just anybody can be saved, and everybody can be part of the bride, and blah, blah, blah. And you find out when God brought the revelation forth, it wasn't that at all. Totally different than what man had taught. Because Satan had worked on it to make it move all along. And we find out, like, you know, there it is in the scriptures. And because ye are sons, he sent forth the Spirit. They teach it that you're not a son, and he'll come and make you a son when you accept it. But the Bible doesn't teach that, right? We know, we've been down these things before. And so, in revealing and showing this bride, then obviously when he would bring this revelation and show that she's the elect bride of Christ, well then, who's this other bunch? Just inherently, just with God revealing his truth in his end time, has to reveal that there's different groups of people. And they're not all bride. Right? It just has to. Right? So in all the revelation, became very clear. I never heard back in Pentecost, and I spent a lot of time back there then, growing up in it, and I went to Baptist some and different things. They never talked about there's a bride and there's foolish virgins, and they didn't. But you see, we come to this time that now the focus is God to bring a bride forward, and so that just inherently has to show, well then, what's all these churches? If they can't all be bride, then what are they? So then, and we find, well, it's been laying there in the scriptures all along. There's wise virgins who become the bride. There's foolish virgins who miss it. Then there's harlots. They can't be bride. And there's the whore church. She can't be bride. Right? So the Bible tells, and it was laid there all along, but now we understand there's different groups of people. And not all of them are Christians, even though they call themselves Christians. In Matthew chapter 13, we've talked about it, you'll know, where he talks about the seed being sown. And it's not that one, sister. I'll get there later. The seed being sown, and it falls in many different types of ground. And I think I said this recently. There's nothing wrong with the seed. See, in some parables, the word of God is the seed, and in other parables, we're the seed. So in this particular one right here, the word is the seed, and so the problem is not the seed. The problem is not the word of God.
Right.
The problem is the type of ground it goes into.
Right.
That's us, right?
Right.
And so that's where the problem is. And so just the takeaway from that parable is that not everybody can bring forth 100-fold.
Right.
Some bring 30. Some 60, some 90, and one place 100. Right? But, oh, you're saying that not everybody can be bride? The Bible teaches that there's different categories, and not everybody can bring forth full word. Why is it so hard that after we leave church, we go back after a few days, we have a hard time comprehending that God's got a bride and she's different than the rest? And the reason why is because there's a spirit out there trying to keep people from coming to this understanding. There is a bride, so people who are bride can fully know who she is.
Right.
So he's constantly working, constantly chipping away, trying to make it hard to comprehend. Oh, I can't believe that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's right. That's what he's trying to do. Because it's in these revelations is where the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And when the bride knows who she is, then the rapture will go. But you got to know. See, she has to know who she is. And so, but it becomes offensive to a lot of people. So, nothing wrong with the seed, but it's the ground. And not everybody is good ground. Some people, the ground is so full of stones that it can't even, so some of us got so much thorns that it chokes the word and it just becomes unfruitful. Right? We must understand there is a revelation. And we all, by revelation, find who we are. That's the revelations coming forth to let us know God has moved his word. He has picked up and he has moved. And there are those who are ordained to catch it and follow that word. And by following it, they become the very manifestation of the very thing that he said. Amen. So also in Matthew chapter 13, he has the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in that parable, he says, it tells about, plants the wheat, and then someone comes in after and plants these tares, and it all comes up, and the servants are like, oh, what is this? And do you want us to go out and take the tares out? And if you understand, tares look like wheat, but they're poisonous or not, right? So they're imitators.
Right.
They look like Christians, but they're not. Right? And the revelation in this end day would declare that. Because remember, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it knows how to divide asunder the joints and the. It knows how, when that word speaks, it can show you. Here's just that fine line between true Christians and imitators. Only the word can reveal those things. Only the word can cause you to understand what's going on and what all this is. And God has promised to bring that sword, bring that word to divide so that we understand. It knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. And so then if it's the word, then that word would have to come and declare those things. And then people get offended. Oh, when we had a ministry that obviously the word comes to the prophets like it was in the Bible. And then in our day, lo and behold, God raised up one that obviously the word came to. And that ministry had a word that could rightly divide.
Right.
So it would understand. So the bride would understand. Others be offended, but the bride would understand.
Right.
That's why he came. That's why he came to the woman at the well. I must needs go out. Why? Because that's who she was sent to. He was sent to. He has to do this. He has to come and fulfill his word to divide out so that the bride knows who she is. And while that's happening, others will go, what? What are you trying to say? I can't help that. You can't help that. God says it. Amen. It's a parable of wheat and tares. And so they saw them there. Do you want us to tear them? No. Just let them go together. Let true believers and imitators fake anti-wheat. Let them grow together. The world's going to think, well, they look the same. So much that you might hurt some of the wheat if you try to. We'll just let them go. Let them grow together until harvest time. That's the end of the ages, right? And at harvest time, he'll send forth his angels. They'll bring a separation. If you notice in that parable, it said the children, the wheat, the Son of Man planted those. Who's the Son of Man? In this earth, the Son of Man planted children of the kingdom. And then the wicked one came, planted his seed. Children of the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Scripture said Cain, who was of that wicked one. In the parable we just talked about of the sowing, then the wicked one comes and sows, right? The tares and wheat. He comes, the wicked one. And they're the children of the wicked one. This is the terminology the Bible used. The children of the kingdom, God planted them here. The Son of Man, planted them. But here comes the wicked one, and he plants his children, his seed. And that doesn't declare serpent seed. I don't know what it is. And if that doesn't make it exclusive to the seed of God, I don't know. Does it not? Does it not make that this the gospel message being gathered into the rapture barn is exclusive to the wheat alone? See, people get offended when, well, you're making it just, I'm not making anything except what that word says. It's the wheat that he's come after. But it's been all mixed up all these ages. And so God promised that he would come and he would bring a separation. You can't put wheat and tares in the barn together. You got to separate them. So I asked you, how does he separate them? We're at the end time. We know that you look out here and there's pride out here and then there's this other stuff. How do you separate those? Because they have to be separated. Let me get back to my notes because I get off on rabbit trails. Amen. Seed sown by the Son of Man and then by the wicked one. And then they've been together all these years and then there's a separation. So how would that manifest? In our day, here we are, we're in this age, 2024, and we go to church and billions of others people go to church. Right? How's this going to manifest? God's going to separate a true bride out from the midst of this fake stuff. How's that going to happen? Is it going to happen because we all just keep going on, believing what we believe, blah, 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 just. No. It happened because God's going to do something to bring a division. And it looks terrible. It's like, well, I thought he wanted us all to get along. I had a guy tell me one time years ago when I was witness to him, and he said, I'll start going to church when all the churches come together and believe together. To the natural carnal mind. Remember I said a while ago, makes your head spin? Makes your head spin when you think that God would bring a separation in his own church? Right? But you see, he has. Because he brings his word, and his word separates belief from unbelief. Amen. So, who out here, we were talking about our day. Well, let's look around the world. Let's look at ourselves. Who is playing what part? Who's wheat? Who's tare? Because if you believe this Bible at all, it says at end time, we're still here on this earth. Then on this earth, there are people who are wheat and there are people who are tare. So who plays what part? And how does this separation manifest itself? Because it does. It has to. Okay. I'll help answer some of these questions as we go. But I say these things and I want you to think about it. Because so many people get offended. You know what? Whenever they came, John said to go ask Jesus, are you the one? I remember that spirit would be on Brother Branham. And it'd be on the prophet going to the Jews. Go ask him, is he the one or should we look for one to come? And Jesus said, did not say, go tell him, yeah, I'm the one. Jesus said, go tell him what you see. Because it has to be a revelation. Even John laying there in the prison, Jesus could not walk up and say, I'm the one. It had to be a revelation. And so they went back and told John, here's what Jesus said. The lamer, you know, and the gospel was preached to the poor. Right? And so John can say, oh, yeah, he's the one. Why? Because he's fulfilling what the word said he would do.
Right.
That's how you know. But Jesus ended that by saying, when he said, go back and tell John, and blessed is he who's not offended in me. And that's what he's saying today. Some people would mind, well, is this really the move of God? Is this really, we're underneath this prophet messenger, is this really it? Well, what do you see happening? Do you see what he told would come? Do you see God separating, dividing this word, showing that there's a bride who stays with him while the rest of them do all these other things? Do you see that? Do you see that in the word? And do you see that? And blessed is he who's not offended in that movement. Blessed is he that's not offended when God separates his people from unbelief by ministry and by works that he said would come. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. Amen. So how would God bring a separation? And then after the separation, what would it look like? What would you have? After God has come and he would separate wheat from tares, would they be in the same camp? No. Right? Two totally different conditions. So I'm trying to get people to cope, and I trust that you do, but maybe people listening, to cope with this understanding that there's a great thing that God has done. And yet it is offensive to the world, but it's the thing that God said, and there's a people to stay with his word, to be bride. It's what he came for. It's what he's here for. And so, what would you have after that separation? In Matthew chapter 25, when he talks about wise and foolish virgins, this is another parable he tells to let us know that not everybody can be bride. And even in this part, it narrows it down, even from all the tares and wheat, talking about all the wicked, they're not even part of it. But even in the midst of virgins, even in the midst of the churches that aren't part of the heart and our whore systems, even among that, then it's even a further separating down. Is that what the Bible says? Right? It's a further separating down because the wise virgin were able to go out and meet him, but the foolish missed it. So even a further separation there. Right? And so, when it's talking there about the wise and foolish virgins, both of them heard the end time cry. Right? They both heard it. How did they both hear it? Think about it. How did they both heard his coming. They both knew there was a vindicated voice speaking it and saying that it's coming.
Right?
Right? So they would have had to have heard it. Right? Heard the same message. Same sermons. Same everything. But I ask you, what is it that the foolish virgins ran out of? We know Scripture says oil. So let me just say this. Did they run out of tongues evidence? Did they run out of tongues in their church? Did they run out of people coming in and coming to the altar and getting baptized with the Holy Ghost? Or having a manifestation, let me say it that way, having a manifestation of tongues or something like that? Is that what it was? No, that can't be it. The foolish virgins ran out of something, but it wasn't tongues. It wasn't healings. It wasn't miracles, because they still have that. Right? This is why false anointed ones at end time had to come so we could understand. Because God wants to wean us from being a people who said, well, they get results, they have the tongues, they have all these things, and that must be it. No, what it is do they stay with the word? And so when I say, what happened, what did the foolish virgins run out of? It wasn't those things, right?
Right.
It wasn't those. So, what is the oil today? Because we know from the parable they ran out of oil. The wise virgins did not run out of oil. Let me just say it this way. The wise virgins made provisions to not let run out of oil. The wise virgin said, you know what? It's going to be a long night. And I'm going to make sure I have enough oil that if it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning before I hear the cry, before he comes, I'll still be able to go meet him. The wise made provisions to make sure they had oil. The foolish didn't. They both heard it, But the foolish did not make proper provisions to keep that oil and have enough of that oil to carry him through this long night cycle. Amen. And so you understand that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Word. And so they're synonymous one with the other. If you want the Holy Spirit, receive the Word. Right? And so you can even read this in the Church Age book. It's in the resume, I think, the last part. And Brother Ren talks about this, that at the turn of the century, years, not this 2000, but 1900, that people begin to sense that there was to come a mighty move of God. And they begin to cry out for that. And whenever 1906 happened, Azusa Street, and that was, they thought that was the latter rain. And because now all these tongues and all these manifestations of gifts of God, and that was God, and it was real. But they thought that was the latter rain, and it wasn't. And they made a mistake in thinking that. And they took that and they moved it off into a denomination. And proof of that was that among their ranks of tongue talkers and praying for the sick and mighty healing revivals and tent revivals, and among all that was wickedness. Right? Read it. It's right there. Go read it. So in the midst of God's church, still yet, a real people, and then a false, yet anointed. This is what this Bible teaches, and this is what the Message teaches. And so God wants a bride to come along, and she's going to realize, wait a minute. To have the oil, you must have the Word. And the foolish virgins, even though they heard the message, they heard the cry, they didn't make proper provisions for that Word. Because that's where the presence of God is in the holy anointing of God, moved with that Word. When that Word moved, that's where the presence of God goes, and the people were to go with it, and Pentecost said no. Not say that among the bride we have. That's not saying you can have gifts and mighty moves of the Spirit. Yes, you should have those things. But you have to be able to understand that among the bride, there will be the character of the Word to handle those things, so we don't go off into some fanaticism or some denomination like they did and wind up rejecting the Word. Right? They had the character to handle those things, to hold it in check, as I said the other day. So the oil, to have the oil, you have to have the Word. So, how did the wise keep the oil? Made provisions for the Word. Spiritual food in new season. Through this long cycle, what is she doing? Is she staying with that Word? Staying engulfed in that Word? Keeping that Word before her day and night? Just like natural types, spiritual, Old Testament type, New Testament. Keep that Word before you. Frolic it between your eyes. Going in and out of your door, it's on the side of your door. Right? And what it means today for us that we would keep the Word of God ever before us. Amen. We understand that. So the wives made provisions, kept herself around in that Word environment around her, and the foolish said, I've heard the message, I'm part of the message, but never made the provisions they needed to keep that anointing of that Word with them. Amen. The Bible tells us these parables, these things that God said are true. So back to the tares and wheat. So how would God bring a separation between tare and wheat? Well, he tells us he'd send forth his angels. Right? That's what he said. Send forth his angel, and they'll gather together. So, if winged angels, winged creatures come from heaven and preach to the world. Well, that'd get everybody's attention, wouldn't it? If winged creatures came and they spoke to the world, all of them would come in and be part of Bride Movement, because if that was the way that they could come. But it's not winged creatures from heaven. It's messengers. Right? Messengers for each age. A messenger to their age. So, what better person to know who was who in Luther's age than the angel that came to Luther?
Right?
So when God would get ready, and say, I'm here to claim those that are mine, and he's like, all right, I'm going to claim those of Luther's age. Come here, Luther. Tell them who it is. You know they were your people. They were your converts. You see what I'm saying? And so when the seals opened, those seven angels had to come, because each one were going to be pivotal in laying claim on their age, the people of their age. Oh, I want to see Jesus. Well, when he comes, he'll judge you. Like, right? Each angel introducing the people of his age, calling that life that they live when the seals is over. Okay, and so earthly messengers, well, they could come and gather God's elect and so forth and do these. And you realize that when, if let's just say, God forbid, just for an example, but let's just say half of the people in this church, I'm going to say this half, say their half is really bright and the other half think they are, but they're not. Just by, if I was the voice of authority who could call the names, if I came and I named all these right here, in essence, by doing that, I haven't said a word to the other group. But by doing this, I've already excluded them, because I didn't call them. I didn't speak that the life they lived was a real life of Christ. You just understand what I'm saying? So I trust all of you, okay? But just to show you that just by God revealing truth of who the bride is automatically shows you who's not bride. Amen? Does that sound okay? See? And so earthly messengers would come, and the earthly messengers could come, and their message would speak to the people of their day. You have to understand, when that angel said, who's worthy? I've said this before. When he said, who's worthy? That voice went all the way into heaven. That voice went into earth. That voice went beneath the earth. That voice went into every dimension to call every person that ever would be on the face of the earth. And every one of them heard it, said, are you able? Are you able? Are you able? Because the voice, it came back and said, no one was found able. Right? And so, you know, standing there, we talked about that. When Brother Ben was standing there, he was that voice. He was that strong angel God had sent. And he's standing there and he said, oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this way. Well, let him come forth. Let him come forth. And so what I'm trying to say there is that as that messenger spoke, and each night as he was visited by all those angels, and that anointing of that age of Luther and Wesley, as he come there and he spoke those things, that was going out into those realms and into those dimensions, speaking to those peoples and those that are there. Oh, God, acting this out. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. God fulfilling his word. God moving, and he wants us to move with it. Amen. So earthly messengers could come and speak, and the whole world would miss it except for those it's sent to. I'm trying to get to. And if you notice in verse 41, she can bring that up now, sister. I appreciate your zeal there. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of what? Out of his kingdom. All things that offend, and them which do iniquity. You mean in God's kingdom there was those who caused offense and those who were full of iniquity? See what I'm saying? They grew together. They grew together, but at the end time, God's going to straighten this thing out. Is he going to straighten the world out? No, because they're rejecting it. But for the bride, she's going to come to a knowledge and understand what that other group is and what all these things are. She's going to know who she is. Right? Gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Amen? So, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, when we're speaking about gather out of his kingdom, those that do iniquity, look at this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The Father has a will. And it's not iniquity. Right? And it's not tongue-talking. It's not manifestations of gifts of the Spirit. It's not that. Right? That's good. Those things are real. But they can do that and still not be right. We understand that from the message. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Couldn't do it without them, without the Holy Spirit. All right? You know, the king had concubines, but then he had a bride. The word speaks it all through. There are people who can have gifts of the Spirit, have that kind of thing, and not be bride. Follow me? We know this. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So just show you that in that kingdom, in his church system, they're all professing Christianity, so he takes them at their word. And amongst all that were those who offended. And those who were full of iniquity had workers of iniquity. So at the end time, he's going to bring separation. God's going to do something at the end time that's going to separate so that now you've got a bride movement who's not full of iniquity. Come out of her, my people. Not full of a bunch of nonsense. This other group, man, they'll just keep right. They have doubled and tripled down. But this group will catch it and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. Right. That we've made it. Right? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. With the other group. And so, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why aren't these people's iniquities forgiven? I mean, he just said it. Depart from me. If their iniquity had been forgiven, he wouldn't say that, right? Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Need some interaction. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose, what? Iniquities are what?
Forgiven.
And whose sins are covered. Amen? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why was this group's iniquity not forgiven? Right there. He'll say to that group, you cast out devils, you did mighty works, you did those things, and you even did it in my name, but you're a worker of iniquity and you're not forgiven. Why were they not forgiven? I'll tell you why. Because when God moved, they refused to move with it. Therefore, they lost access to the blood. Because if you walk in the word, if you walk in the light, we don't put enough emphasis on that. If you walk in that light, then, you see, you'll have fellowship with God's people, obviously, but your sins will be forgiven. You'll have access to the blood to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And so that's why. Now, how did this happen? Because here in all these ages, you have all this going on, and you have workers of iniquity, and yet they have spiritual gifts, and God sends a mighty prophet to the whole thing. And they all heard it. They all saw it. Even in their books, they testify this was a true prophet of God. And there they are, but when that prophet said, you can't live that way. You think that's the Holy Ghost, and you might have spiritual gifts, but you're not right in your soul. And that's what he told us, right? Because you can't live like that. You can't live like the world and do all those things and married four or five times and do all these things. You can't. And when that vindicated voice spoke those things, what did they do with that? Even out of their own testimony, saying, a mighty prophet of God. But they had to manufacture some kind of thing to say, well, as long as in discernment, it's right, but his teaching, don't listen to it. In essence, they were saying God would perform a mighty ministry testifying to false teachings. That's what they're saying. It's not God. I mean, come on, people. God don't run his program like that. He's not going to send somebody with that kind of ministry that parallels like Moses and Elijah and that. He's not going to send a real thing like that and have it vindicated for that to be teaching false stuff.
Right.
He won't do that. It's the brain of his whole program. What could we follow if he did that? Right. But there's got to be some way that God would send it so we would know it was thus saith the Lord. And not fall after this other. We would understand. I don't care what these people are, other people are doing. They have rejected the word. And so when they rejected that light, vindicated, then they stepped out from underneath it and they lost their access to the blood. And that's why he could say, you did all these things, but I'm going to say to you, apart from me, you workers of iniquity. Because you lost your access to the blood because you didn't move. When that light shined, you didn't go with it. This is how serious it is to listen to these things that God has done. Because God's not playing. He sent forth the word to change our bodies. And we have to walk in it. Lord, help us all. Right? I believe we're part of the bride. I believe that. So, this group not under the blood because they did those things. So God separated the wheat and the tares by, listen to this, hope this could come across. How did he separate the wheat and the tares? Just simply by cause of a vindicated voice coming and saying, hey, there's a real movement that's wheat. And this other group, they have the evidence of being tares. And just preaching that and those people hearing it, they all self-identify with what they are, and some take offense to what they heard, and some of them say, praise God, that's the truth. How does he bring separation? By revealing the thing that's laying there. There's no, when you have Satan laying there in the midst of something like that, when it's all exposed, there's no way that Satan say, oh hell, you got me, I'm now going to come Christian. No, what he can't do anything but double down, triple down. And let me say it this way, like in Shalom, when darkness, he's out here and he's all getting people in darkness and so forth, and then God shines a great light. Guess what darkness does? They all run together and they group together and they come in and they get, we got to get a strength. We got to build up against light. They had no choice but to do what they're doing when this prophet stood on the scene. They have no choice. Because that's what they are. And take offense with it. But you have other people say, praise God, that's the truth. It's laying right there in the scripture, said it all along, and now I see it.
Right.
And I, for one, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to support it.
Amen.
I'm going to have the word as frontly between my eyes, and I'm going to bless my hand, and here's this other group over where it says, nonsense.
Right.
And they got a mark. Send it to me. Amen. She knows what I'm talking about. Somebody asked her a few days ago about Mark of the Beast, and she said it's unbelief. That's right. They challenged her on it. That's right. It's unbelief. Unbelief for what God's doing in your day. Amen. So God separated wheat and tares just by bringing this light and declaring, we're now here. And here's the movements that's going on, and here's the real thing. That's how they gather together, and through supernatural with all these voices and speaking the seven seals and opening up these mysteries. This is what it's done. Amen. And so God separated the virgins the same way, just for revealing what the true life of the choosing of a bride versus false, or versus those who's not given diligence, and also versus those who are false. So the word is the oil. Amen. Each virgin's response to the word is what did it. What manifest, whether they followed it or not. And so God has sent a vindicated voice, and because he sent a vindicated voice, then he holds them responsible to that. You know, there were Christ types in the Bible. Moses, right? Brother Branham, there's Christ types. John chapter 15, verse 20. Listen to what Jesus said. He was Christ, right? He was Christ. He was a vindicated voice, and they were required to listen to him. So he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Right? We know that. But look at this last part. If they have kept my sayings, they'll keep yours. He's talking about to the ones he sends with his gospel. If they kept mine, if they're really of me, they will listen to what you tell them, because I sent you with my word. They'll catch that too. They'll understand that that's just as real as me. Throughout the ages, when I send these angels, they'll catch it and they'll know it's me. Follow me? Okay? They'll keep yours also. See, God doesn't have a problem with sending men and men coming and being deity, gold overlaid wood. He don't have a problem. People have, who you make it? No, he doesn't have a problem with his program. And he requires people to pay attention to it. Right? He said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus has taken all the way back to saying, not only do they not know me when they don't receive your word, but they don't even know the one that sent me. These are stout words, but it's Jesus saying it. This is our Bible. It's got teeth in it. It's got teeth. It can tear the thing to pieces. And that's what people need. To break this free from all this nonsense and tie me up to this word. Amen. Say it's a truth. I'll hang my life on it.
Amen.
He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, hey, they had no sin. God's a just God. If he don't speak it to you, he's not going to hold you accountable to it. But if he has and he keeps good records, he holds us responsible.
Amen.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no religion, no covering, no blood. Right? Why? Because they didn't listen to his word. It's so simple. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them, I've quoted this many times, but I want you to see it, see? If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Let me break that down then. Jesus is saying, God sent me here to perform something that's never been done. And he holds you accountable for it. That's what he's saying. Because I came with a vindication of the word, now you're responsible to hear what God has said. And when you reject that, you're not rejecting just me, but you reject him and sent me, because I am, in essence, I am him here. And so it's the same thing here. If a ministry comes and has that supernatural Bible characteristics, and that only comes very seldom, then God holds people responsible for that.
Right.
And so Moses was a Christ type. Did God hold people responsible for what Moses taught them? He sure did. He obviously holds us responsible for what Jesus taught. And Jesus said, when I pour all that God was, he put in me, and when I pour all that out into my people, into my church, and I send all those messages, and when they come, you got to believe them too. And you will believe them if you're part of me. That's what he's saying. It's very clear. Very clear. So, saying all that, it's, no matter how you slice it, it's the Word. People need to make provisions for the Word in their life. You may not, you realize a man cannot give you a revelation. But a man can preach to you the gospel, and the revelation can come out of that gospel to you. Right? So, people need to make provisions for the Word in their lives, because if you'll stay, if you'll show God that you aren't selling out your birthright, you show God that you're serious about the Word, to keep it around you, keep it before you, then He's obligated, and His Spirit lives in that Word, and He will quicken these things to you. Amen. People need to make preparations to leave. Preparations to leave in a rapture. As I mentioned, Brother Daniel this morning, just keeps coming to my mind over the last couple of days. If you know, I trust we're all saved, and you're not worried about that. But if God was to call you today, would you be happy with the legacy or the lack thereof that you've left behind? Would you be happy? And I know, no matter what you do for the Lord, you're going to get it. You're going to say, "Man, I wish I would have done more." I understand that. That's Brother Rand felt that way. But you know what I'm saying? Would we be happy? I think, and I'm not saying this just to, but I remember Brother Perryman, and of course, you know, he wasn't in the message, but he was the one that, back when he was going to Pentecost, he is the one that introduced me to the tapes and so forth. And but later on, he got the revelation, realized what God had done. And I've told you that, you know, a day or two before he passed, I went down to visit him. Of course, his grandkids were living down there, and they was in this living room area, and they had their nonsense on television or whatever it was, just a bunch of ungodliness going on, and loud, just extremely loud, like you really need stuff that loud to hear it. And Brother Perryman was off in this one room there off where the kitchen is. I went in there, shut the door, and he was sitting in a chair there, and he had a, what we call a ghetto blaster, big old stereo. He had a tape in there playing it. And he didn't have hardly enough strength to sit up in a chair, but he was in that chair, and he was leaning over like that, and he had the volume up. I said, people like, "Why do you need it that loud?" I was talking about them. Brother Perryman had it up loud. He was determined, "I'm going to hear this Word in my final days. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to drown out all that other nonsense in that other room right there." And I thought, what a soldier. 80 some odd years old, or whatever, however old he was, like that. And even to the very last, he said, "I am making provisions for this Word in my life, even in my last moments." And brother, sister, that's what I'm saying. When God has moved, the light has moved, we've got to go with it. Make provisions for it. Amen. Let everything else go if you have to. Make sure that you have this Word around you all the time. Any way that you can be in the presence of the Word, because God is faithful to do all the things He said. So it's too much for a man to manhandle these things and try to manifest this, but if we just stay with God's Word, He'll produce it. And I will say this, in the message, it is a mighty move. You know, children of Israel coming out of Egypt, it was a mighty move of God. But they had backside. They weren't all, you know. And so, in the message, there's been a lot of things where it's not been, because they didn't know. It's not been acted out right. It's not been expressed right. The administration of these truths to the people has not been right so much in a lot of ways. You understand what I'm saying? Over the years. It has to grow into maturity. And I feel bad about people who experience all kinds of things in churches and past things of the message, people trying to express it in themselves and not just relaxing and letting the Holy Spirit move it like that. And so now you got people who's had bad experiences and so forth, and And so we realize that, but we have to come to the understanding that at some point, the people in this message must grow into full maturity. Amen. And stop manifesting false things, false expressions of what they think the message is.
Right.
And come to the place where it's truly the Holy Spirit in them expressing it. Then it won't be expressed wrong. It'll be right. Mm-hmm. And I pray and I believe that God will, that there's a people right now who's crying for that. They've noticed this. They've seen it. And they're crying, God, we want the real manifestation. Maybe it has tongues, miracles, whatever. That catches a lot of attention from a lot of people. Maybe they shouldn't come. But we want the real thing, and we begin to cry out for it. There's a people crying out for this now. There's a people not comfortable with just the mediocre message. And you know what happens when people cry out to God? He hears.
Amen?
Amen? He hears. And I believe there is a people rising up that'll be that. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
I am so thankful for his truth that he sent today. I am not. I'm just a man. But I want to tell you what I see the Lord has done and what I see going on. And I want to tell you that I love each one of you. I want you to have truth in your hearts and in your midst and in your life. And though you be tested and tried for a season, amen, God will bring to pass his word in your life. We believe that. We've seen it too many times.
Amen.
I am believing for God to bring in our loved ones. I am believing. Maybe not a world-sweeping revival, but a secret something where he just sends his Holy Spirit down the street and visits the houses on that street where people were believers, trusting and believing for their family and their children and so forth. And so, may the Lord bless you. Let's put our hearts with the musicians. Go ahead and come. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for a congregation of people, Lord, here, your children that sit attentively and, Lord, soak into these things. And I pray, Lord, that they can see that though this word seems so exclusive, Lord, it is just simply your love letter, calling your bride's voice, calling her name in your voice. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just help each one, Lord, just to fall in love with your truth. Fall in love with that voice that is calling them. Lord, and may you manifest through them the words of this hour. We love you, Lord. And we're asking these things in Jesus' name. I never can think of a song when I'm up here at this point. I don't shift gears that easy. There are some people who can, but not me.
So I'm casting all my cares on
Oh,
risen. He's risen in this age.
Right.
He's risen in me. He's risen in you. Amen. You are the resurrection. And we just, you know, I say all these things and share these things because I want you to see what God has done in our day. This is our chariot that has swung low. This is it. Amen. And I want everybody to know that that's what it is. I want everyone to give proper provision for it. And, you know, I Wednesday night service, if you weren't here and you missed that, you didn't stream it, you need to go listen to it. Not that it was me or anything like that, but we have to watch what influences we let in our life. We have to watch what we fellowship with. Why would we fellowship with darkness? Why would we try to? Why did Israel go down to that feast at Baal Peor? Why would they go to a feast where idolaters are having their shindig? And you can say, well, we want to be friendly. We want to be neighborly. And it cost them. You have to identify things in your life that you know is a problem for you, that's influencing you and pulling you away from what we're talking about here this morning, and sever that thing, because that's the effect that it has. It will bring you to spiritual idolatry. Spiritual adultery. They're almost the same word. Amen? And so we all need to pay attention to what we let in our lives. What you do with media or anything else. Right? I'm going to tell you something. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you missed it and you knew it, you'd be serious then. Right? And I am not a person who wants to scare people. I hope you don't think that's... But I'm serious. I am a serious person, right? And so I want you to just get proper reception to what God has done. That's all. Amen. And then while you're doing that, you can enjoy life. You can enjoy the things that don't mar that. Amen. I want you to have a good time. Brother, sister, we are in revival. This word is our revival. We've got to receive it as such. Amen. And so I know concerning Bible study that, you know, next Saturday night was to be Bible study. I understand that probably several people had forgotten that we were having it, and a lot of things going on, and so several people weren't going to make it. And so we had just kicking it around last night, and the suggestion was made that maybe we'd move it to the 21st, which is another week later, 2 weeks from yesterday. Maybe to have it then. But let me just say it like this. There's always going to be probably most time where somebody's not going to be able to make it. And we have people who want to have it. And it's not fair to those who want to have it that they don't get to have it just because maybe somebody else can't be there. You know what I'm saying? And so we know that people have lives and they have to do things, and we have to totally understandable. Nobody's under condemnation for not coming to Bible study. Okay? But we want to have it for those who want to have it. And so this month, if everybody, you know, is agreement, those who can, we'll move it to the 21st. And the next month, I say let's go back to the second Saturday of the month. Let's keep it that way. There might be some time where nobody would show up, then we might cancel it for that. Well, let's do that because there are those who really want to do it. And I want to reach out to people I work with and people in the family and community, and I trust you. I want to compel, hey, come with your Bible questions. We will show you in the scriptures where this truth is. And maybe that's an environment they can come to that they wouldn't in church or whatever. I want to open up different avenues of fellowship with people besides just those people in our assembly. And so, is that okay? Amen. That's it. That's good. And so I appreciate each one of you. You're a lovely people. Okay? You know, as a minister, when you stand up here and you say things, you correct things or whatever, and you go home and you beat yourself and you crawl into the bed and you cry about it, but it's because we love you, right? And you're not a terrible, that's what I'm saying, you're not a terrible people. I just want, on that day, I just want to turn around and look and see every one of you.
that's the car that we're shooting for. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. We'll sing again, and then you can be dismissed.
All my cares.